The Doug and Wolf Show.
The next 4 hours of your life will be outstanding wherever you are if you keep listening to The Doug and Wolf Show.
You're calling your shot.
I'm
right
calling
now.
My shot on today's show.
Doug Franz, Ron Wolfley.
You know that's good radio.
Oh, yeah.
Doug and Wolf, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Good morning. It's the Doug and Wolf Show with Wolf taking the day off. I am live in the Octon Community Studios with Maloney and with Mitch. We're flashing the one right in the face of anybody who is a little downtrodden this morning because it is your job to lift them up. And we are doing something we've never tried to do today. With the gloriousness of Zoom, we are going to try to replace Ron Wolfley with nobody actually in the Octon Community Studios with us, but a series of hourly mystery guests all day today. And in order to reveal that mystery guest, we'll give you a chance to take a guess. Here are some of your hints.
This mystery guest has lost 85 pounds since college, has bowled a high score of 270, and owns a 1966 Ford Mustang. He played five different positions in one NFL season and was voted a team captain six times. Okay, mystery guest, reveal yourself. It's such a...
What's going on, guys? Lorenzo's in the building. Lorenzo Alexander.
Now, how do you feel about your music? I asked Maloney.
Yeah.
What's the walk up music? She played this for me, intro, and I said, wait, why did you go with that music? She goes, I just love that song.
Yeah. She consulted with me with everything except that walk up music. I definitely would have picked a different song. And just for the record, I played five positions in one game in 2007. It might have been eight, but 2007 versus the Giants, one game.
Now, did your weight go up and down for that game? Did you weigh more in the first half and then lose some weight the second half or anything like that?
No. So it was fullback, guard, D tackle, defensive end, and then my special teams duties.
Now, why did you have to play guard?
Back in the day, I think we had a guard named I think it was Jason Fabini.
Oh, yeah.
Solid player.
Yeah.
Solid player, but wasn't very athletic towards the end of his career. And since I was up and coming, they used to kind of substitute me in with either play the tight end role and block like in the – when you see the big packages, or they would bring me in when we were going to pull some plays. And obviously we only could do it maybe once or twice because if I come in every time and we're pulling at guard – then they would know what's up.
Yeah,
so that,
yeah.
That was why to come in and help run a certain play because he couldn't get out to the outside.
Now, this is Lorenzo Alexander. We're pretty jacked up for this. All day long, we're going to have a different guest co-host, but none of them will be in the Action Community Studios because for COVID-19 reasons, we didn't want to introduce somebody into the building that we're not always around and things like that. So we thought that would be a smart way to go about it. And just to protect you guys, too, because you never know what Minch, the assistant producer of the Doug and Wolf Show, is carrying around or who he hangs out with. So we didn't want you to have to be anywhere near him. But this is something that I admit I didn't know. I thought I knew your career, but I didn't know about you playing guard in a game. And then this is what I find highly entertaining. You've had to have had one time during that game where if you were slipping in as a tackle eligible or a tight end, you forgot to report.
No, never that.
Come on.
I was a young guy. That's the last thing you want to do is have a penalty on a mental mistake. That's what you got to understand. When your leash is short, you making sure you do everything correctly.
Now, how are you doing? Like, what's going on for you today?
Good. Actually, my wife went out of town to go to Utah. That's where she's from. And so I got the kiddos all by myself today as far as getting them ready for school. And we actually have going to do some Halloween stuff at the house. So I'm making this little haunted house for them just to kind of
– wow.
Make it real cool since we can't, go out to any of these things with big crowds trying to stay safe. And so I got to decorate this carport I put together. And we went out to the Spirit yesterday, Halloween store. Shout out to Spirit. And then we just bought all this stuff. So I got to hang it and make sure it works. So when they walk through, they're scared. And then my father-in-law is going to be at the back of it, kind of scaring them. So,
this is funny. Your wife's going back to where she's from, right, but her father's coming over to your house.
Yeah. Well, he lives in Arizona now.
Okay. Okay.
So she just went back to visit some friends and family for the day. She has to take care of some stuff. But my mom and my father-in-law just happen to live here.
Well, here's what I'm thrilled with. I am thrilled that my wife does not listen to the Doug and Wolf show at 6:06 in the morning. Because when she goes out of town, I am a completely handcuffed fool. The girls love it because they know we're going out to dinner, because I'm not messing with making anything.
Right.
Unless the girls are going to make dinner for us, something like that.
Yep.
And nothing gets done at all. And here you are, your wife goes out of town, and it's, oh, daddy's going to make a haunted house.
Oh, yeah. You know, I try to be the top dad around. But by the way, I need to still get back with you so we can do that family dinner at some point.
Absolutely. There was one time that Zoe was filling in for Wolf, and in the middle of the show, Jennifer sends me a text that says, "We have to have the Alexanders over for dinner." And I was thrilled. I'm like, well, that's nice. She goes, "You guys sound great together." And then I realized, why haven't you ever said that to Wolf? I mean, Wolf and I, you've never said, we got to have the Wolflies over for dinner. But then I know the reason. She knows Wolf won't leave the house.
Right.
So it was like, why even bother trying to get Wolf to leave the house? So there's absolutely no chance. So we got a lot of ball to talk to Lorenzo Alexander with. And then coming up at 7 o'clock, mystery guest number 2. And I bet a lot of you'll have no idea who mystery guest number 2 is. So we're pretty jacked up for our day of mystery guest. Right now, it's time for the starting five.
And now, it's time for your Arizona Sports Starting Five. You can't go to work without knowing these five huge stories. Here's Doug Franz and Ron Wolfley.
And sorry we couldn't get the voice, PA voice of the Phoenix Suns, Vince Murata, to make a new open because we got Zoe.
Number five.
But number five this morning is, Zoe, are you buying that the Houston Texans need to sell?
I mean, at this point, just based on their record and where they're at, knowing that they're going to have a new head coach or coming in that's going to want to set up their own way, obviously GM as well, I'm going to say yes, because he's going to probably do that anyway. And we're not talking about selling Deshaun Watson.
No.
Obviously.
But here's the name that'll shock you. This is from USA Today, and he says the arms race has begun in the NFC West, and he suggests for both Seattle and Arizona make a play for J.J. Watt. Are you buying that?
I don't know if anybody wants to buy him, and he's a great player, has been, but just injury prone in my mind.
Here's what I love about it. I love to see the reaction of Texans fans if they make another trade with the Cardinals. That's what I love about this story.
Number four
this morning, old school is back. The new manager of the Chicago White Sox, Tony La Russa. Here's Jeff Passan.
Guys of Tony La Russa's ilk, you know, the managers that ran everything are just not in baseball anymore. You know, as one person put it to me earlier today, if you had opened up the managerial jobs for the 29 other teams in baseball, how many of them would have called up Tony La Russa and said, "You're our guy"? The answer is zero.
Oh. And with the removal of Blake Snell from the game for Tampa in the World Series, I got to tell you, Zoe, we have never in any sport seen more of a clash of old school versus new school than we will see with the White Sox versus everybody else.
Yeah, exactly, man. I hate that clash as analytics. It drives me crazy because it really removes the human element. It needs to be a tool and not a way or a foundational piece of way you go about doing things.
I'm rooting for Tony, but I can't wait to see it.
Number three,
boy, is this a shock.
In the immediate moment, the thing I'm most curious about is, what are those tests going to look like to come back on Friday?
The reason why the test, Trevor Lawrence out for the Boston College game. Trevor Lawrence, quarterback at Clemson, tested positive for coronavirus. Here's the thing, though. In the ACC, you have to be symptom-free for 10 days from your test. And right now, he's got some symptoms. But guess what happens? They play Notre Dame in a battle of what could be two top five teams next weekend. What in the world will the NCAA College Football Playoff Committee do if Clemson has a loss to Notre Dame, but they lost without their quarterback, Zoe?
Yeah, we'll see. I will be shocked if Trevor Lawrence is not out there, much like Nick Saban. Mm-hmm. In his test and how he found his way out onto the field.
You believe in miracle cures?
Yes,
I
definitely
people.
Do. When it comes to this, I definitely believe he'll find his way into the game. Like, oh, he didn't really have symptoms. Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't related to COVID.
That's good. Number two is your Cards Classic. A Game for the Ages is going to be rebroadcast tonight right here on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station. It was a huge game and a turning point in both the season and really for the Cardinals since the time that they let go of Zoe. That's when everything started to go down, and now the Cardinals appear to be back up. Your favorite moment of Dave Pasch play-by-play Sunday night. What was your biggest play in the win against the Cardinals or against Seattle?
Wow, instant classic. I'm going to give a shout-out to my man Tanner Vallejo. Made a huge stop on third and one on the running back to really stifle that drive.
Mm-hmm.
Number one.
And the number one thing you need to know about this morning is the Cardinals are approaching their bye week. And if it wasn't for last year, there's no way that would be number one. But after last year.
Yeah, man, it's going to be different, man. Bye week is usually when I head to L.A. and get my winter clothes. Start getting snazzy for the cold weather and stuff like that. So it's going to be a little different for me.
Is different better? We'll talk to Zoe about that. Mystery guest number one filling in for Wolf on the Doug and Wolf Show on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station. Good morning. Thanks for waking up with the Doug and Wolf Show. Lorenzo Alexander, former Cardinals linebacker, also played for the Bills and the Raiders and the Washington football team, is here. Do you, do you count, should I say, and played for Charlotte too?
The Panthers, yeah. I mean, I was on practice squad for a whole year. I mean, I put wear and tear on my body, so I count it.
Fair. As Zoe's filling in for Wolf today, and this isn't the normal thing that we start talking about, especially as difficult as the subject matter can be for other people, but I got to talk election for a second because you'll never guess in a million years, Zoe, who gets to vote for the first time. I think we all agree this is a pretty important election, irrelevant of where you're going with it. And yet there's a new voter block that will be available to vote on Tuesday that's never voted before. You want to take a guess who it is?
I have no clue.
It is.
Hello. You play to win the game.
Today is the 18th anniversary of that speech from Herm Edwards.
Hello.
Oh, is it?
To win the
so any kid born the day of that speech gets to vote on Tuesday, and they've never voted before in their life. Does anybody realize that was 18 years ago? The 2-5 Jets lost a 3-point game. I stole this from ESPN Stats and Info.
Yeah.
They lost a 3-point game to the Browns, and Herm turned around and they went 7-2 the rest of the way and went to the playoffs. That's
right.
One part of the story nobody talks about.
Hello. You play to win the game.
That yeah. They followed Herm and they went 7-2 after that. Talk about being on the train right there.
Right, yeah, rally around him. You play to win the game. When your coach is out there doing things like that, it's easy to get behind him.
I just thought that was amazing when I read that today. Man, that was 18 years ago.
That is cool, though. That is cool to be attached to that as a kid.
I know.
Find all those, yeah.
The big thing for this weekend is the bye for the Arizona Cardinals. And, boy, Zoe, this has got to get you pumped up if your quarterback says this.
Understanding what happened last year, what I did last year, for me, there is no bye week. Last year, you know, we kind of treated it as if there was a bye week. This year, you know, head stays down. And for me, they're really, like I said, there's no bye week for me. So I'm going to keep at it be ready to come back and lead these guys.
The reason why this is the number one topic this morning has everything to do with the Rams game last year. It
right.
was so bad how poorly this team came off the bye. And I don't think we've ever understood what happened or why it was so bad. But just listening to the guys this week, Zoe, they sound totally different. And boy, did Kyler sound fantastic right there.
Yeah, you know, when it comes to buys, you have to learn how to relax and then reengage. And so if you're a younger player, and obviously you have some veterans on the league that have been through it and know how to do it, obviously Fitzgerald, he's done it multiple times. But it is something hard because, you know, you may take a trip, may go, you know, with your wife or your kids somewhere, maybe just by yourself and your boys, and you go on a trip and maybe you don't work out for 4 or 5 days. You forget to do that. And so when you come back that first day, you just sweating all that stuff out and you just feel like you're behind and you're not really focusing on and being in efficient in practice and focusing on those things. You're just trying to get through practice because you're so wore out from the bye week. So, but there are ways to do things in moderation. You can still take those trips and go with your family, obviously not in the COVID year.
Yeah.
But while you're doing those things, hey, make if you're going somewhere in the States, you know, figure out a place I can go work out. Figure a place I can still get my massages. Take your iPad with you. Obviously, everybody will be at home now during COVID, or at least in the Arizona area, so you can still get tested. But making sure that you work out on your own and doing those things, even, you know, while you are away from the team and not in a structured environment, to where you're still relaxing, you know, getting away from football, but you're still staying engaged, at least physically, so that when you come back, you can mentally reload and refocus so that you don't have that drop off. Because I think a lot of times that's what it is, and you just relax. And it's hard sometimes to get back in that mental state that you need to be able to compete at that level.
For those of you that might not know what Zoe's talking about, every year it's up to the team whether they practice for a couple days, but you're basically almost always let out on Wednesday or Thursday,
right?
And you don't do anything the rest of that weekend. It's up to you, and then you usually come back Monday and get ready for your next opponent. So they got a whole weekend to themselves, and yet this year it's totally different because you still have to keep going in for your testing because coronavirus has changed everything. And this is what Vance Joseph said on Wednesday, and it kind of opened my eyes a little bit to maybe this is one of the few, if any, silver linings of living in a pandemic, is maybe the Cardinals will be a little bit more prepared coming out of the bye.
Obviously, with the COVID protocols, we have to be here every single day. So I think it's so different this year with guys being in the building. You have more guys working out. You have more guys resting. You have more guys watching film. You know, and that's the way it should be this year. Obviously, in a normal year, you have guys leaving town and, you know, visiting family and obviously, you know, going to Vegas and partying and those things. That's what young guys do. I think this year is different. You know, testing every morning is going to keep guys around and keep guys obviously hopefully healthy and COVID-free and keep guys studying and taking care of their bodies, hopefully. You know, so hopefully this helped our team come back and, you know, healthier and fresher and ready to play these next 9 games at Phil Tip.
As a veteran leader, and like your mystery guest open said, 6-time captain, Lorenzo Alexander, did you know? Could you just look at a guy's eyes, one of the young guys, and know he spent time in Vegas?
You can, and depending on who it was, and it could be some vets sometimes too. You can smell it coming off of them too when they get back. But yeah, I think that'll be the huge difference. Because even though they're in town, I mean, you and Scottsdale, you can find the party. But at the same time, you're like, okay, I got to be COVID aware because I don't want to miss a game.
Right.
So I think that's probably going to be the biggest benefit outside of maybe being around some of the guys as far as going up and working out. I know if I was here working out, I wouldn't spend a whole bunch of time at that facility because I'm trying to, you know, just get away from it and just kind of refresh and just kind of hang out in my own environment. But from the partying standpoint, you would hope that guys are not going to put themselves in that position because of COVID, because you don't want to miss a guy, you know, for, you know, up to at least to miss a game at least because they decide they want to go out and party in the current environment that we're living in. So we'll definitely see if it works as far as them being more reengaged and focused. I think they naturally will be just because it's another year under this system, guys being together, obviously Kyler being around. And so it's probably a little bit more of a mature.
And you hate to admit it because they're good.
Yeah, and they're focused, right?
Yeah.
So I think that plays a part into it, too. I don't know when their bye was last year, if it was early or late.
It was extremely late. It was crazy.
The season was already over in their minds.
Yeah.
There was no playoffs, no nothing. Man, I'm out of here. I'm about to go blow some steam, come back, finish this last 4 weeks, and then get out, you know? So that plays a part, too.
For those of you that don't remember, it was the worst possible bye for what some players feel like. It was the weekend before Thanksgiving. And it was the last bye weekend the NFL even has in a normal non-pandemic year.
Yeah, that's so late. I mean, your body's so broken down. You just begging. So they essentially had almost 2 bye weeks because I know some guys probably ate bad during that week and then came right back. Thanksgiving is Thursday.
Good
man,
point.
I definitely got to eat now. I got family coming in town. I'm about to eat bad again. So,
good
and
point.
That just doubled up, you know, going into that game.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's a good point. And then what I love is Cliff addressed it in a hardcore way. He didn't back down from what happened last year.
Just addressing it and understanding, you know, last year coming off the bye was the one game since I've been here that I felt we were just non-competitive. I thought we had a bad week of practice. It rolled right into Thanksgiving. I mean, it was kind of a combination of things. And you know, we were awful against the Rams, and they kind of embarrassed us. And so just addressing and making sure guys understand we got to stay more locked in this year.
You can kind of feel it, can't you? When he says we had a bad week of practice, you probably feel exactly why coming off that bye and then into Thanksgiving week.
Right, and it'll be interesting to see how he grew from that moment and maybe what they did from an administrative standpoint last year. And I don't know if he gave guys, it was his first year in the league, did he give everybody the whole week off because of the situation?
He did.
Yep, see, and then because I know some coaches, even though you're not playing well or not in it, coaches still want to have a couple of days of some structure. You can get a head start, at least get out to get the juices flowing because they're knowing in the grand scheme of things of what you're about to go do. And so I'm going to at least help you kind of push that time of you maybe not being as in good of a shape a little out a couple of days.
Yeah.
So even from I'm pretty sure they practiced a couple of days this week because obviously they're a good team, but also keep that rhythm because it was different. They didn't do well last year, so let's try something new from a coach's staff and what we're going to have our players do this year.
Just because it's the bye weekend, Wolf took the day off, so Lorenzo Alexander filling in for the first hour, but we have a series of mystery guests coming through. And up next, let's talk ball. But let's do it through the filter of tonight's full moon. Going into Halloween night, Halloween questions that directly relate to the NFL. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. So we decided in this beautiful part of the program to go cow v. cow. We're not talking about Cal VC. We're talking Cal Berkeley, in which Lorenzo Alexander, guest co-host today, one of our five mystery guests filling in for Wolf and Paul Calvisi, both guys that went to Cal.
Doug, you don't even need to say Berkeley. It's the original University of California dating back to 1870-something. So you know what? All the other satellite campuses have to identify their location. But when you're talking about the Berkeley Premier Original Campus, it's just the University of California, period.
I did think, and you guys know better than I do, I accept this, I did think you were supposed to say Cal Berkeley because of how high you put your noses when you say Berkeley to stare down all of the other campuses.
No, that's a Stanford.
Oh, I see.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the arrogance you get down on the farm.
So did you ever beat Stanford?
Yeah, of course.
Of course they did.
Did I ever? Yes.
Okay.
Smacked them. We lost to them first year when Ty Willingham was the coach, and we got Tefford, and then we slacked them the next 3 years.
So here's what we're doing. I'm going to ask you a series of football questions that go through the filter of Halloween. The two of you decide which player you're looking at, which person you're looking at. You go any way you want to go. Here's your first question. The player that you would demand that you would want to have at your Halloween party.
Now, is this any player in any sport? Are we talking the Cardinals?
No,
are we talking
NFL.
The NFL?
NFL. Any NFL player that you would want to have at your Halloween
go ahead,
party.
So.
This is easy. Richie Incognito.
Oh, really?
Yes. Oh. Awesome dude. Great personality. And he would go all in and have a blast with the kids.
Okay, I hope so. I mean, based on what he did to his Ferrari a couple of years ago, I'm not so sure about that.
There you go, Paulie.
I'm just saying, you know, he hits the punch. It's like taking the lock off a cage. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'd be careful with that. Let's see here. Honestly, you know who you should have voted for? Marshawn Lynch, your guy. I'd love to have Marshawn Lynch over for a Halloween party, and I don't even know him like you know him there. So
that's pretty good. The correct answer was George Kittle. That guy seems like a total nut.
Right.
And
no,
that would be pretty good.
I'll see your tight end, and I'll raise you a tight end with Travis Kelce. That would be a great guess.
Okay. Yeah, he's fun, too. Yeah,
I would probably invite his brother over Travis, to be honest. Okay, number two, the player that's most likely to say at your Halloween party, "Hey, I'm dressed up as me," because they wouldn't play the game and they wouldn't dress up.
I see. That's a good one. Wow. I tell you what.
Yeah, that's a hard one.
I'd go Larry. Larry just show up as himself. I mean, honestly, you know, he's Larry. He's on a first-name basis with the state already. You know, Larry doesn't need to dress up as anyone else. Heck, half of Arizona is probably dressing up as Larry.
It's funny you went with a Cardinal because I went with Corey Peters because I figured Corey would say, I don't have time for this.
Right. Yeah,
I don't have time for this.
That's right.
Who are you taking, Zoe?
I'm going to say Phillip Rivers. I think he's an old dad. He's not dressing up. I know he's got a ton of kids, but he doesn't seem the dress-up type to me.
The scariest person in the NFL.
Mm.
Ooh.
Wow.
You take that any way you want to go.
Right.
For me?
Yeah.
Man, it's actually two guys that I kind of fear, but just watching them. But the only guy I actually played against was Derrick Henry.
Okay.
That's an all-day bloodbath.
That's a good one.
When you play him. You're going to walk out of that game feeling yourself. And I know last year after we played him, we beat him. But I was sick, physically sick, after wearing myself out trying to tackle him all day.
So there are two running backs in my 16 years on the sideline where you look into the offensive end and you're like, is that guy a running back or a defensive end? Derrick Henry and Brandon Jacobs, the running back from the Giants. Yep. Like, oh, my God.
Look at this. Him too.
Look at the size of that guy. What was the question again, Doug? The guy you fear?
The scariest person in the NFL. You can take it anywhere you want.
Right.
Because my answer is Greg Williams. Because you know that guy's out to take your to get somebody to take your legs out.
You know the guy who was always half crazy to me, and he's still playing, although he's now injured? Frank Clark. Frank Clark just always played with a crazy look in his eye. And that guy, I don't know, something about that guy always scared me a little bit.
The player that, you know, you walk up on a house and you can't believe how well they decorated it. And you're thinking, man, that can't possibly be real, whatever that is. Who is the one player that can't possibly be real? It's just unfair.
Unreal.
Oh, wow. Okay.
DK Metcalf.
Oh, very good.
That's a good one.
Like Thor. I mean, ripped up, fast, big. I mean, just indefensible pretty much.
I'd say Jalen Ramsey. When you see Jalen Ramsey out there and the, you're like, that guy's playing corner and running like that and he's that physical, I'd say Jalen Ramsey.
I'm impressed because neither of you went with Aaron Donald, but you couldn't argue with either of your answers. We got a lot of people that are jumping in on this. Ali just tweeted and says Gronk has to be invited to your Halloween party.
Oh, that's true.
I forgot about Gronk.
Yeah. You gotta have Gronk.
Yeah, yep. Gronk would be a fun time too. And I actually did have Aaron. He's at the top of my list.
Okay.
I didn't say his name
because it's too easy. I get that one. The player. Okay, you know this kid that does this. You leave your bowl of candy out. And it says, please take one.
Right.
And there's always some kid that takes seven or just dumps the whole bowl into his bag and runs off. So who's the player that you guarantee empties the bowl at the house that's supposed to be using the honor system?
Well, it's funny because last night, no joke, I have a 14-year-old punk at home, and that was his plan, is tomorrow night to walk around the neighborhood and empty out the bowl. I said, no, we're not doing that. I would say the guy who's going to take the whole thing, how about the Leveler? I'm going to go the Leveler. I mean, it's sort of like he'd treat it as the Grey Cup. That bowl of candy to him would be the Grey Cup. He'd just take the whole thing with his fur coat on and a beer in the other hand.
You know what? I know that's something that Gronk would have done growing up, for sure. I'm going to say Gronk would do that for sure.
This is the one where I knew no one's going to think of him, but as soon as I say it, you'll go, oh, yeah, that guy. The tackle for the Titans from Michigan, Taylor Lewin.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, he's either suspended or injured. He's taking everything he can get his hands on. He gets flags thrown at him all the time. There's no doubt to me that is totally that guy. There's your Halloween look at looking around some of the players in the NFL. We've got an hour until we're about maybe about 45 minutes until we're about ready to call a name. If you haven't done it yet, text. Where's my little buzz sheet? Oh, here it is. Text.
Doug, by the way.
There it is.
Here was my big
Thanks
regret.
For bailing me out.
Who's getting wild tonight?
Yeah.
that you didn't have that one ready?
Yeah, I didn't have that ready. Dang it!
Text GATE to 620-620. Here's what you get thanks to Four Peaks. You could win a brand new barbecue grill. You could win an invitation to a virtual tailgate in which you might win $250 prize pack from Four Peaks. And you'll also get a custom-made Arizona Sports cornhole set. That could all be yours if you text GATE to 620-620 and you're listening upcoming at 7:30. Coming up next, maybe a pipe dream, but perhaps an edge rusher in the Cardinals' future? Or even worse, in the Seahawks' future if you don't make a move.
Ruh-roh.
That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Coming up in about 15 minutes, our next mystery guest co-host. You got Lorenzo Alexander right now on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Zo, what was your best costume as a kid?
You know what? I was always stuck in the same old thing. I was either a hobo or like a ninja. I mean, because in the Ninja Turtles, I just love them. So I was always something kind of around that. So it wasn't very, nothing too creative. My best costumes have probably come, you know, since my wife, because she really gets into it. So since being married, because, for example, like this year, my three daughters and my two daughters and my wife are going to be the Skyler sisters, and I'm going to be Alexander Hamilton. You know, so that's kind of what we do now. We always do family stuff. So my best costumes actually come as an adult.
I'm impressed because every time I go to some kind of event and there's a family dressed up, yeah. I always feel like, man, I wish we would do that, but there's no way I'm going to get involved the week ahead of time. Like, there's no way I'm doing any of the planning. I'm doing any of the thinking about it. Okay. But after I see somebody else do it, I'm like, oh, yeah. I'm kind of jealous
well,
of that.
Well, we're pretty much in the same boat. All I do is show up and get dressed.
That's well done.
Yeah.
I'm impressed and a little jealous. There's a if you didn't know, there's a writer in USA Today who went through all 32 teams. And in going through all 32 teams, he said, here's a move they need to make at the trade deadline. And as you can imagine, some of them were selling. Some of them were moving on for people. It's going to be incredibly difficult to get a major trade, in my opinion, going in. Now, Carlos Dunlap might be the biggest one that we see.
Right.
Because of the fear of where is the salary cap going to be next year and the decision of are draft picks precious right now? Because you have to get them right because you know so little about this 2019 or 2020 season and 2021 draft class? Yeah. Or is it, hey, we know so little that we just might as well give them away because we don't know if we're going to get any of it right? Well, for this for the NFC West, he put one player on two teams and said they should fight about it, while Seattle and the Cardinals both going after J.J. Watt. What scares you more, not getting J.J. Watt or having to play J.J. Watt on Thursday Night Football because the Seahawks did do it?
Right. I mean, obviously, he's a great player, and I don't know if you – I mean, that you just get into a bidding war. So I like to go at a level head, you know, listen to Steve Kime. I feel like I've gotten smarter in as far as being a GM. And so you got to look at the big picture, right? And I don't even think Houston would give him away for whatever. Because when I think about J.J. Watt, I put him in the same breath, what he means to Houston and that community, especially when you think about what he did as far as raising that money and just being there and the Hall of Famer that he probably will be. Mm-hmm. I think about Larry Fitzgerald, you know. Mm-hmm. And so in that same vein, I don't see Steve Kime or the Cardinals ever thinking about trading away. I don't care how bad what's going on, trading away Larry Fitzgerald. And that's the way I see how J.J. Watt is tied himself. So is it possible? Anything is possible. But I think because of who he is in that community, the price tag would be ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Then you got to look at what you're paying to get J.J., right?
Yep,
so he's old. Obviously, he's had middle of the season, but he's getting paid like $15 million this year, and he's under contract through next season, which is $17 million. And then do you want to pay an aging player who's a little bit older now, even though he can still play, who's also had a significant injury history the next 2 years? With that, you know, what are you going to get out of that? I'm going to give myself a shameless plug. If you want to give me half of what you're going to give J.J., I'll come out of retirement for that. But That's neither here nor there. We're not talking about me.
I thought we already tried that. I thought we tried.
Well, the number wasn't half of what JJ makes.
Oh, I see. All right. I hope you're listening, Steve Keim. I think that's the major point if you didn't hear what Zoe said.
Right.
You nailed the contract. $17 million next year, and that's all a base salary.
Right.
So that means in a year where the salary cap could dramatically reduce – you've just now thrown $17 million at a guy. You're not sure if he can play 16 games. Or if you want to lower that hit, you've got to convert some of it into a signing bonus and sign him to an extension, which might hurt your cap later, which right. You don't want to do either. Here is Steve Keim. You said you felt like you get smarter listening to him sometimes. We asked him the hidden question. I knew that if I said, were you in on Yannick Ngakoue before he got traded to Minnesota, were you going to be able to make a move right. there to his move to Baltimore? And he said, you know, I couldn't say the name because that would be tampering.
Yeah.
But I did say, hey, do you need somebody to replace Chandler Jones? There's a guy that's got one more year left on his contract. He's got this. And I started describing him. So he knew what I was talking about.
Right, right.
And he said,
I think that you always get excited about the opportunity to improve your roster. The problem that I think that you know, a lot of people don't think about is what's the compensation you have to give up? What's the financial commitment? You know, as far as does the guy have any time left on his contract? Generally, there's more value, obviously, if a guy has multiple years left than if it's at a lower number. How is it going to affect the future? Is there guaranteed money that's tied into it? I mean, there's a million different moving parts that, you know, you just don't think about on a daily basis that once you're in my position, you have to think about those things and how it'll affect your roster moving forward. And if the guy doesn't pan out, you gave up draft compensation and you're stuck financially. So there's a lot of things that you take into account. And if it makes sense, you know, you've seen in the past, DeAndre Hopkins, Chandler Jones, Carson Paul, whoever it was we drafted for, it made sense for us. And I think it worked out.
He's right about those trades.
Yeah. I mean, and it makes a lot of sense. And then you also have to think about the impact of that player once you get him on your roster. Is he going to take us over the top and allow us to win a championship? Because that when you make that type of move for that type of player, it's like we're winning this thing this year.
But that also says something. That's one thing to talk about. Whether you love the idea of going after J.J. Watt or hate the idea, that what does that say to a locker room? I mean, that's got to get you. I know you've got to do your job. You shouldn't be influenced by outside forces. Do your job,
right.
Irrelevant of whether or not you have a championship team. But come on. When management right. gets behind your team like that, how do you not become the guy that says, I can't be the one to screw this up? I got a ball right now because they just went out and got J.J. Watt.
No, and I think that has some standing to some extent, depending on how your team is and where you're at. But I look at the Arizona Cardinals, for example. Chandler Jones got hurt, right?
Right.
And so now you're trying to replace Chandler Jones, and what's the best thing? So that's who he would be coming in to replace his reps. It's not necessarily what you're not doing, but we can add a piece because we lost somebody that's so significant, which they're trying to do with Marcus Golden and why they traded for him. It's not an indictment on everybody else. We just need something to shore up.
Mm-hmm.
When I look at the Seattle Seahawks, and they've suffered a couple of injuries too, but they haven't really been great on defense or pass rushing at all this year. And so then it's like, okay, well, maybe I'm not doing my job. You know, we really haven't lost anybody rushing wise, but we're not getting any sacks or, you know, any team that looks like that. That's when you start questioning yourself as a player. Okay, what are they trying to say to me? They, you know, we're winning, but they want to bring in a guy that plays my position.
This is something you got to hear. I'll tell you about it in a second, though. Don't miss Cards Classic, a game for the ages, tonight, 6 o'clock on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Three-hour special hosted by Luke Lipinski, reliving all of the key moments from the Cards' crazy Sunday night victory against the Seahawks. That's tonight at 6 on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. I was driving in this morning, though, and I heard this, and I wanted your best sideline story reaction. Bart Scott explaining on ESPN Radio the Ravens-Steelers rivalry.
You know, I can remember, you know, one year Mendenhall was a young player in the league, and, you know, Ray Rice, they were friends, and they were kind of laughing and joking, and he said something slight and joking, tongue-in-cheek, like he was going to run over us and all this type of stuff. Like, he watched on film, he's ready. You know, so Ray Rice just telling me, and I used that totally and made up the biggest lie. You know, I went in there to the defense. I said, listen, man, this dude is sitting here, this young player, I think he was a rookie, like being disrespectful. He said he's going to run over us. He don't respect us. Ray Lewis, you ain't nothing. And I can remember Ray before the game, like, almost crying. Just get over and respect us. So everybody all hyped up. The first play, Mendenhall caught the ball, ran the ball. Ray Lewis broke his shoulder. And that's the game. That's the rivalry.
Now, He goes into a deeper story in which he talks about talking trash to the sideline, and Mike Tomlin actually called a play specifically to run against Bart Scott, and Bart Scott knocked the guy out with a big hit. What's your best sideline trash talk story?
My best sideline, actually when I was with Oakland, it's the one I remember. I'm pretty sure there's a ton other, and I'm not a big trash talker. You have to engage me before I'm going to engage you. But once you start it, you got me for the rest of the game, right? Regardless of what you say the rest of the game, you got me. And so good returner from the Ravens, Jones, that ends up going to the Chargers, happens to be the same year I end up being in Oakland.
Okay.
And he has a solid return, and he gets up. He kind of ends up running to our sideline and was like, you better check my resume. You better check my resume. I said, okay, all right. You know, so obviously we end up scoring again in the game. And then we back on kickoff. We kick off. I run down, find him. He's returning the ball. Bam! You better check my resume. You know who I am? You know, and so it's this that was kind of fun to play off of what he was saying. And be able to jack him up after he kind of talked a little trash to our guys.
And I'm now that I think back, you had a better resume. I mean, you're a Pro Bowl special teamer.
Yeah, he was pretty nice too. He has a Super Bowl ring. I wish I had one of those.
Oh, that's true. That's true. Hey, thanks for doing this. I know you've got a lot of kid duty today, and you got a haunted house to build. Thanks for being our guest co-host for hour number one.
All right, yeah, anytime. Love you guys.
You're the man. Thank you. There's Zoe. Lorenzo Alexander filling in hour number one on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Coulter Nissan, west of the hassle. Go to coulternissan.com. Coming up next, he's one of your favorites, and he's mystery guest number two on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.